Well, today is a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. Really glad that you're joining us today. And I am so excited about what we've been studying in the book of James. We've been going through a series called How to Have Functional Wisdom in a Dysfunctional World. And I've really enjoyed studying for these messages and hope that you've enjoyed them. And I know that our congregation has enjoyed going through the book of James. And it's called the Wisdom Book of the New Testament, written by James, the half-brother of Jesus, does a fantastic job on teaching us how to navigate in these most difficult times that we're living in. And so today we're actually on part 5, and I've entitled the message today, Study Up. And study the word to show yourself approved unto God, workmen who are not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So today we want to talk about how to be blessed by the Bible. Before we do that, I want to share an opening story. There's a local story that really blessed me as I read it just this morning. And when I say it's a local story, it's a story that is from Fort Worth, Texas. And this couple, Betty and Curtis Tarplay of Fort Worth, Texas, were married for 53 years. They both contracted the coronavirus. Nurses wheeled Betty into Curtis's ICU room, and they could be together for the last moments of their lives. And the neat thing is that they died together within 1 hour of each other. They had a biblical marriage and they had a blessed marriage, and God allowed them to pass away within an hour of each other. Isn't that such a neat story? You know, Max Lucado, he likes to write a lot of books, is a fantastic author. In May of 2008, he told the story about Curtis Chapman and his wife Mary Beth, how they lost a 5-year-old daughter in a terrible automobile accident. They were deluged with messages of kindness. And one particular kindness, a letter that was written to Stephen, gave him a lot of strength. It was from a pastor friend of his who had also lost his son in a terrible auto accident. And this pastor wrote, "Remember, your future with your daughter will be greater than your past with her." Max Lucado adds, "Our final home will hear no goodbyes, no gone forever. Let that promise change you. From sagging to seeking, from mournful to hopeful, from dwellers in the land of goodbyes to a heaven of hellos. This is the hope that we find when we make God our king." I'll ask you one more time. Would God say he is your king today? And so I want to drive home the point to you today that you can have a blessed life if God is your king. And your king, God, has given you a wonderful love letter called the Bible. And if you are feeling a little bit hopeless today with all that is happening in our world, and I get that, I understand that. But Romans 15:13 is the verse that we have adopted as a church verse for this year. It says this, "May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him." Do you get what Paul is trying to say to us? He is saying to us that if you are filled with God's hope, in that little phrase, "May the God of all hope fill you with all joy," this is the only place in the Bible that is put together just like that, as that phrase, "my God of hope." And if you have God's hope residing within you, you will have joy and you will have peace as you trust in him. And when you trust in him, you actually overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk today about the power of the Bible. You know, the Bible every year is the number one selling book, and the Bible is everywhere. Many of us have many copies of the Bible. I think I probably have about 30 copies of God's Word. And I'm talking about those are the actual versions of the Bible that I can put my hands on, not to count the electronic versions that I have. You know, the Bible is everywhere. Not too long ago, I was in a local mall in another city. And as I was sitting in that mall, just kind of watching people, I saw people in that mall reading their Bible. I saw people in a local hotel that I was staying at as I was visiting this town also reading their Bible. You know, every year the Bible is published, and every year over 500 million Bibles are actually published in the world. That's amazing when you think about it. 500 million Bibles are published in the world every year. It's published in 18,000 different languages. Now, this is amazing when you think about it. So as you think about the power of the Bible and the popularity of the Bible, the issue is not how many Bibles are being produced or published, but how many Bibles are actually being read. And not only are they being read, but how many Bibles are actually being brought into our lives and heeded in our lives? You know, it's one thing to have the Bible in your head. It's another thing to have the Bible in your heart. And when the Bible is in your heart, you're going to be constantly making changes to make yourself more like Christ. You know, God's word does that to us. And I don't know if any of you guys listening to me are married. If you happen to be married, marriage is a wonderful institution. And somebody kidded around with me when I said marriage is a wonderful institution. They said, well, who wants to be in an institution? And that's a negative aspect of marriage. But I want you to know, after 31 years of being married, I so enjoy being married. Now, one of the things I've noticed about being married, and maybe you guys who have been married for a while, you can understand where I'm going with this, but my wife, she loves for things to change. And so she always wants me to change something in the house. And whether it be remodeling something or redoing something. And it seems like I just finished a job that we remodeled something or maybe repainted something. And I'm like, oh, great, I'm going to get some relief. No more remodeling for a while. And it seems like I just finished a job. And she says, you know, this looks really good what you've done here. I think we need to go and repaint the living room now. And it seems like it is a perpetual remodeling job. And that's kind of how it is when you're a follower of Christ. There is constantly things in your life that you're remodeling, that you're rechanging in your life. In James chapter 1, verse 25, it says, "The man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." So James is reminding us here about something very important. As we look into the perfect law, that's the Bible, it gives us freedom, and we have that freedom if we continue to follow in accordance to God's word, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. He is blessed in what he does. Now, later on in the book of James, he uses the illustration of a mirror, and as you look at that mirror, it gives a true reflection of who you are. But you don't want to forget what you look like. You don't want to walk away and have a false picture of who you are. So let's talk about how the Word of God can help us. Number one, if I'm going to have the Word of God in my life to bless me, I must receive God's Word. Verse 21 of James 1 says, "Accept the Word of God that has been planted in you." Now, as you think about that little phrase, "Accept the Word of God that has been planted in you," why is it that it seems like sometimes a seed will take plant and it'll do very well, and other times the same seed doesn't seem to do as well? Each night I do a broadcast on Facebook Live, and I call it Breakthrough Prayer. So last night when I did Breakthrough Prayer, I actually stood out in the middle of a cornfield, and our church is situated with fields all around us, and several months ago they planted the corn on one side of the property, And so I walked out there when they were first planting the corn, and then I've walked out of there again last night, and I noticed that some of the corn stalks were really tall. As a matter of fact, some of it was over 6 foot tall, but I noticed some of it was also kind of short. What is the difference? Our difference is not the seed. The difference is the type of soil. You know, as you think about accepting the Word of God implanted within you, you know, the best plans, if they're not utilized, will not work. The best seed that's not utilized in good soil will not produce as much as it ought to. You know, when our church was being built many years ago, 15, 16 years ago, the church building that we enjoy, where we worship every Sunday, was under construction. And I remember it took them months to get the foundation ready. It took them months to get the foundation poured. And then they had the slab that was poured. And I remember they put up some of the steel. And one of the things I remember in the early parts of the building process is that in the middle of the floor, right about where our sanctuary is, the contractor set up a table. And on that table, he had plans. And this table was set up for the exclusive purpose of holding the plans. It gave all the different trades would come to this table, and they would look at the same set of plans. You know, numerous times throughout the day, various contractors would come and subcontractors would come, and they would gather and they would study the plans. Now, they didn't just study the plans to say, cool, man, I love these plans. They studied the plans with the purpose of applying them to the building. In other words, they took the will of the architect who drew the plans, and they took his will, and they actually built it according to the plans. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus says this, "You have been born again, not from a seed that can be destroyed, but through God's everlasting word that can't be destroyed." That's why scripture says, and I will switch over to 1 Peter 1:24, all people are like grass, And their beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass dries up and the flower drops off, but the word of the Lord lasts forever. Do you get that? God's word, the good news of God's word, will last forever. So how am I going to have a good reception to God's word? Well, here's some pointers, I think, that will help you to be very well in receiving God's word. Number one, you got to be careful. James 1:19 tells us that everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. So quick to listen means that I've got to be careful in how I listen. I've got to be intent into the message that God is giving me. As I read his word, I must be careful in what I study. When I listen to God's word, I am in his presence. When I listen to God's word, I am also in his will. Now, there's a joke that I like, kind of a story about listening. One day, there was an old man that was casually walking around along a country lane with his dog and with his mule. Suddenly, a speeding pickup careened around the corner, knocking the man and his mule right into the ditch. The old man decided to sue the driver of the truck, seeking to recoup the cost of the damages. While the old man was on the stand, the counselor for the defense cross-examined the man by asking him a very simple question. I want you to answer yes or no to the following question. Did you say at the time of the accident, did you say or did you not say that you were perfectly fine? Well, the man said, well, me and my dog and my mule were walking around the road, and the counselor in defense said, stop. I asked you, tell me yes or no. Did you say you were perfectly fine at the time of the accident? Well, me and my dog and the mule were walking along the road, and the defense attorney appealed to the judge and says, Your Honor, he said, the man is not answering the question. Would you please insist that he answers the question? The judge says, well, he obviously wants to tell us something about the accident. Let him speak. So the man said, well, me and my dog and my mule were walking along the road, and this truck came around the corner far too fast, knocked us into the ditch. The driver stopped, got out of the truck, saw my dog was badly injured, went back to his truck, got his rifle, and he shot it. Then he saw that my mule had broken his leg, so he shot it. Then he said to me, how are you? And I said, I'm perfectly fine. So I hope that listening well is so important. Listen to the whole story to get the big picture. So be careful as you're reading God's word that you're getting it in the right context and that you're getting the right meaning of what is actually being said. Well, here's the second thing that will help you as you're reading God's word and studying God's word. And I would say just be calm, right? Be listening, be calm, be slow to become angry. Now, I have found that I do a better job painting, and I'm not the world's best painter, but I do a much better job painting when I can actually calm myself down. Now, you may think this is strange, but coffee actually calms me down. And so I'll have a nice hot cup of coffee, and I'm not talking about the decaffeinated coffee. I'm talking about the real McCoy, the high-test, high-caffeine coffee. I'll take a cup of coffee, and I find that that helps to settle me down. I find that I get along better with people if I can calm down. I find I get along with people if I can become slow to anger. Now, my poorest decisions have always been made when I was angry. Maybe you've got that same problem. I think your poorest decisions will be made when you're not calm. So make sure that you're calm as you're studying God's word. Be slow to become angry. Here's a third pointer. If you're studying God's word, not only listen well, but be calm, and then be clean. We learn in verse 21 that we're to get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent. You know, as you study the Bible, somebody put it this way about the Bible. Sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. As we study the Word of God, it will actually begin to clean up our lives if we will allow it to clean up our lives. I find that when I am not wanting to deal with the sin in my life, I don't really want to get into the Word. I don't really want to listen to the teaching and the preaching of God's word because I don't want to come under conviction. But that's what the word of God is designed to do. It is designed as God's love letter to us that is written to us so that we can have a relationship with him that is pure and holy and untainted with sin. Well, here's something else you got to do as you're studying and reading God's word. I would say you got to be compliant. Verse 21, the second part of that verse says, humbly accept the word of God that is planted within you. So I've got to humbly receive the word of God. You know, it's hard for a proud person to receive instruction. I mean, after all, they think they know everything. They think there's nothing else to learn. So I want to encourage you as you study God's word to allow that word to penetrate into your heart, humbly accept the word of God that is planted within you. Secondly, you've got to rely on God's word. And you think about, how do I rely on God's word? Now, I'm stealing this acrostics that I'm about to give you. Rick Warren, in his Bible Study Methods book, gives the word space pets, and the letter for each word on space pets stands for a different way of studying the Bible, a different way of looking at the Bible so that you get the fullest meaning of the word of God. James 1:25 reminds us that as we look intently into the perfect will of God or word of God, that it's going to reflect back to us. We must have an accurate understanding of what the word is saying to us. We must rightly divide the word of truth. So let's spell out this word space pets today, okay? Letter S, as we're studying the Bible, stands for the word sin. As I study the Bible, is there a sin that I need to confess? Is there a sin in my life that I need to deal with? 1 John 1:9 reminds us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is a promise that is given to us by God's word. That is a promise that is written to believers, that as believers confess their sins, God is faithful and just to forgive them of their sins. So that's the letter S. Let's move on now to the letter P. The letter P stands for promise on Space Pets. Promise. Is there a promise that I need to claim? For example, maybe you're feeling like you have some needs in your life that are not met. Well, there's a promise that you can claim in Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. You know, the Bible is filled with all kinds of promises. And as you look at the promises of God, you've got to study them and you've got to look at that promise and you've got to ask yourself, is this a general universal promise or is this a promise that was given to somebody specifically? As we study the word of God and we look at the promises, you'll discover there's a lot of promises that God gives to his children. He promises us, for example, that he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. He promised that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He promised that he will hear our prayers. He promises that he will come to our rescue. He promises that he will give us wisdom. All these are promises that God gives us in his word. Well, as we continue spelling the word space pets, the letter A stands for attitude. As you read God's word, one of the things you must ask yourself is this. Is there an attitude in my life that I need to change? 1 Peter 3:8 says this. Finally, all of you should live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate, and be humble. So here we see the attitude that we ought to have toward our brothers and sisters in Christ. Peter says, you got to live in harmony with them. Now, I know sometimes that's hard to do because we are different in our outlooks. We are different in our backgrounds. Our personalities are different. Some of our beliefs are different. But we are commanded as brothers and sisters in Christ to live in harmony with one another. And how do we do that? We do that by being sympathetic, loving as brothers, and being compassionate and being humble. So as we're reading God's word, one of the things we got to check is my attitude. Is there something in my attitude that needs to change? Well, the letter C in Space Pet stands for the word command. As I'm studying the Bible, is there a command that I should obey? For example, John chapter 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You know, the Bible has a couple of central commands. It has the Ten Commandments that we're all very familiar with. But as you get in the New Testament, there's really two basic commands. Command number one is that you're to love your neighbor as you love yourself. The second command is actually called a commission, and that is to go out into the world and to teach everybody to observe all things, sharing the gospel with everybody that you come in contact with. That's found in Matthew 28:19-20. So as I study the Bible, is there a particular command that I should be following? Letter E in Space Pet stands for the word example. Is there an example that I should follow, or is there an example that I should not follow? You know, one of the reasons I know that the Bible is so true is because the Bible tells the good, the bad, and the ugly. It is true. It records the good things about God's people. It records some of the bad things that God's people have done. Is there an example that I should follow? In Philippians 3:17, Paul says, you follow me as I follow Christ. Join my example, Paul says. If I don't follow Christ, you don't follow me. You know, I love the story of Joseph. Joseph is a great biblical character to follow. You know, Joseph is the only man that I can think of in the Bible other than Jesus, of which nothing negative was said about his life. Now, I'm not saying that he was perfect, but the Bible didn't record anything negative or anything sinful about the life of Joseph. God gives us great examples in his word in which we should follow. God gives us great examples of how we can be more like Christ based upon those who have gone before us. Well, we've gone through the word space, and now let's look at the word pets. The letter P stands for prayer. I need to pray, don't you? I tell you what, I try to pray as often as I can. Isaiah 57:15 says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You know, prayer is one of those things that brings us in fellowship and communion with God. We have a member in our church that is unable to get out because of a hip infection that he has been battling for a very long time. And so I stopped by to see him this afternoon on the way to record the broadcast, and I brought a portable little communion set with me, and I had an opportunity to have communion with him. And we had a great time praying together and sharing some thoughts together. You know, you think about prayer. Prayer is basically the same thing. It's a conversation that you have with God. And every day, I think you ought to wake up and you ought to have a prayer on your lips. And as you go throughout the day, you ought to be praying. We're told in the Bible to pray without ceasing. We're also told that Jesus often withdrew himself when he went to the lonely places. He went out in the wilderness and he prayed. Jesus was a lot unlike us in that every time the crowds came around Jesus, he seemed to disappear and he'd go off to a lonely place and pray. You know, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. That means that we should have an attitude of prayer all the time. Always have a prayer on your lips. Begin your day with prayer. Go in the middle of your day with prayer. End your day with prayer. You know, somebody once told me there's over 300 prayers within the Bible. Now, I didn't take the time to count them to make sure that's right, but I know John chapter 17 is a powerful, powerful prayer. It's the prayer that Jesus prayed for us. And one of the things that he had in that prayer is praying for the future believers, and he prayed that we would be united with one another, just like he's united with his Father. So the Bible has a lot of prayers in it, and we do well to spend a lot of time studying these prayers and praying these prayers. Well, letter E stands for error. Is there an error that I need to avoid in my life? Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19 lists six things that God hates. Now, there's six things are listed here. And as you look at these six things, and then he adds a seven, then he says seven are detestable to him. Here is that list of errors that we should avoid. Haughty eyes. That's kind of like that eyes that think they're better than anybody else. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. Whenever I read that phrase, I think about the millions of babies who have been aborted, never had the chance to have their life live out to an old age, and their life was taken from them way too early. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. A false witness who pours out lies. And a man who stirs up dissension among the brethren. That last one is a one that really eats at my heart. When I think about the schisms oftentimes within God's people, the division within God's church, it must break his heart. You know, we expect our world to be dysfunctional. We expect our world to be at odds with one another. But you know, when you come to a church, you expect that we'll be of one spirit. We have a sign over our doors as you come into our church and it says, welcome home. And I got thinking about that one day and I says, you know, that's a great phrase if you've had a good home. But for some people, their home has been very dysfunctional. And that welcome home sign may not give the right message to them. But I want you to know when you come to church, it ought to be a place where you feel at ease. As a matter of fact, it ought to be a place where you feel right at home, where you feel accepted. You know, I'm blessed to have five children. I love all of my kids. I don't think they could do anything that would make me stop loving them. I would always welcome them in my home. I would always welcome them in any way that I can. What breaks that unity is when somebody is living in unconfessed sin. I think too many times in our churches, we spend too little time dealing with issues of repentance. We must spend a lot of time dealing with the errors that we should avoid. Well, the letter T stands for truth. Is there a truth that I should believe? Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And the last part of that verse says, and you shall be free indeed. Well, the letter S, the last letter in the word space pets, says, is there something to be thankful for? Psalm 107 verse 1, Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I want you to spend several minutes just thanking the Lord for the many blessings that he has given to you. As we close out our broadcast today, I'm going to give you an assignment, okay? Your assignment today, if you choose to take it, this challenge today, is to think about how many things that you can be thankful for. I'll get you started on a list. Are you thankful for your family? Man, I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my kids. I'm thankful for my church. I'm thankful that I live in the Hampton Roads area. Sometimes the traffic's crazy here, but we've got a pretty good place to live. The weather's pretty nice here. When you have a moment to think, you will have so many things to be thankful for. So Lord, thank you most importantly for saving our soul. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.